The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Welcome to another final hooter on loverubbly.com and our friends at Radio General. They said Radio something else then.
Did you? How come?
I have no idea what I'm thinking.
We've definitely been here a couple of hours ahead of this podcast, you know.
Listen, we've had a lot of rugby league to fit in over the last 3 weeks.
Well, that's true, yeah. Three rounds Punch of Super drunk. League. There's a round of the Challenge Cup as well. Blimey, it's all been happening, hasn't it?
It has been happening. We've got a real treat for you Jewsy fans, by the way, on this podcast. Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson talking rugby league on loverugbyleague.com. We've got Neil Kelly joining us.
Neil Kelly?
The Neil Kelly.
The man that got Widnes promoted.
Yes.
The man that had
should have got Dewsbury promoted, but the RFL decided your ground's not good enough.
He had that great CV, didn't he, at Dewsbury, where he got them winning everything. Trans-Pennine Cups and all sorts.
Trans-Pennine
Cup.
Which cup was that?
I remember it well. It used to be played for
them. Must be the only one, and obviously Dewsbury fans.
On a Thursday night, I remember going over from Lee, and that Dewsbury ground was ankle deep in water.
It still is.
Lee had a little substitute playing for him. He nearly drowned when he went diving for a ball. There was that much water on the surface.
The Trans-Pennine Cup, that's new on me.
They won it by 10 points to 8 as well.
Should we just stick to competitions that we know?
I know about
being,
one.
Being historical and never gone away. The Challenge Cup, let's talk about that first, shall we?
I'll tell you what, some great results in the Challenge
Cup.
What
a win
weekend.
For Swinton.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people are having a down on Huddersfield at the moment, but Swinton, blimey, that is such a fine result. And you look at the respective differences between those two sides and basically what they can spend, and that has to go down as a real major cup shock.
It's a cup shock. I got the feeling, though, Huddersfield weren't really that bothered about it, really. They're more concerned about Super League survival by the looks of it.
Trouble is, if you know, Rick Stone's got to watch himself, hasn't he? Because he keeps turning up to these post-match interviews with his pie charts and with all this information written down.
It's not doing him any good.
It's going to wear thin, isn't it, with a lot of people. They just want to see passion at the end of the day, and they want to see players that want to play in the jumper. And I don't know whether they're getting full value for money at the moment in that at Huddersfield.
Certainly guys at Hawkinson Rovers are playing with passion and for the jumper as well, aren't they? They are a team on a mission, baby.
They are, yeah. I mean, when you consider that they got relegated in extra time of the £1 million game last year, then yeah, they're really wanting to show and put down a marker every opportunity. And to be honest, they were way too good for Lee.
They're going to be hell bent for revenge against Salford in the next round.
That is an intriguing tie, isn't it?
Got to be the TV game, that, hasn't it?
In a way, I would love that to be the TV game.
I wonder if Gareth O'Brien would be practising his drop kicks again.
Well, I believe he got cleaned out against Toronto, and the Salford management, or certainly Marwan Kukash, wasn't too happy at the tackle.
Right, OK. Before we look ahead to the next round, this is where the rest of Super League come in. Four Super League clubs, the ones that were in the bottom four last season, entered the road to Wembley. And two of them bit the dust.
They did. So we've already touched upon Huddersfield being defeated by Swinton. Hull Kingston Rovers getting one over on Lee Centurions, who beat them last year in the eights. You know, so there's all kinds of connotations there. However, there was no surprise at Salford, despite a really spirited effort from Toronto. Salford winning by 29-22. And Leeds managed to put on the points against Doncaster, although they conceded quite a few. 64-28 suggests that the tackle bag should come out.
Right, we mentioned some of the results. Let's have the rest.
Okay, Featherstone defeated Oldham. Dewsbury beat Batley after extra time, nonetheless.
I'm sure Neil Kelly and Dewsbury like playing Batley.
Golden Point. Barrow accounted for York by 50 points to 28. That was a good result on the road for them.
Yes.
Halifax travelled up to Whitehaven and beat them by 36 points to 12 as well. And as I mentioned, there was that win for Featherstone, 30 points to 4 against Oldham.
Okay, then who got who in the draw?
Well, the draw that was made just the other night, Adrian. And
I know this is Keith Senior, it was mentioned, Keith Senior fresh from the London Marathon. I don't think he was that fresh.
Well, maybe
he'd
not.
He'd have been aching.
Maybe not, no. I tell you what, he's done a good job the last few years, though, hasn't he, raising money for charities?
Speaking of the London Marathon, I know Jamie Peacock even ran in it.
Yeah, and I know a couple of guys from the amateur game that actually ran it as well.
Name check the high-profile guys.
Mick Ledger from Thattoe Heath.
Okay.
An ex-pro in Dave McConnell. He also ran it
Dave
as well.
McConnell,
yeah. John McConnell.
Yeah.
He ran it as well. So there we go.
Is that his dad or brother, John McConnell?
It's not just the big, it's not just for the big boys. Everybody can go.
So is that his dad, John McConnell?
No, no, Jock McConnell. That was his nickname, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought you said name checking his dad there for a minute.
No. Well, his dad might be John. I don't know. I've never been. I've never met his dad, to be fair. But yeah,
rough, tough player, Dave McConnell in his day.
Great player, great player. Really enjoyed watching him mix it. He was always one of those that could mix it, but I was pretty skillful as well, you know. And Mick Ledger's still doing the business for that, or Heath, who are riding high in the amateur sport at the moment.
Don't fancy a marathon, too far to run.
No,
I'd walk it.
I prefer a Snickers, me.
Can we do a walk in? You can't name check bars of chocolates.
I don't like marathons, but I'll have a Snickers.
You being sponsored by them?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they do walking marathons? Do that one.
I'm sure that they could do. Yeah. Maybe if you set off now.
Forward.
If you set off now, you could do the London Marathon for next year.
Anyway, well done to them guys for running the marathon. And Keith Senior to back it up and be involved in the Challenge Cup draw.
Yeah, can I get back to the draw?
Yes, go on, back to rugby league.
Okay, right. Leeds have been drawn at home to Barrow. Salford have been rewarded with a home tie against Hull Kingston Rovers. St Helens must travel over to Castleford, while Halifax have got to visit Featherstone. Catalan's Dragons, they're over here playing against Hull, while Dewsbury, as reward for knocking out Batley, I've got a home tie against Wakefield. Swinton at home to Wigan. And what about this one? Warrington versus Widnes.
Yeah, six Super League ties. So it's going to be an open competition once six of them clubs bite the dust. But I can imagine during that draw, everyone going, oh, Jamie Wigan getting the team. You could outside say, the Super League.
You could say the same about Leeds as well, though, yes, couldn't you, to be honest?
Yeah.
But it is the look of the draw. It's purely is, that. I mean,
nothing to do with those hot and cold balls.
Definitely
no.
Not. No, that's never gone on.
What do you say?
What are you insinuating here,
nothing
Mr. Jackson?
Nothing at all.
Is it corruption of the highest order?
It's just amazing how Wigan gets Swinton.
Well, it's okay. Leeds got Barra. Warrington got Widnes.
Yeah, that's probably an easy game for Widnes. See what I did there?
You could say Wakefield getting Dewsbury as well. They'd be expected to win that one handsomely.
Yeah, the weekend of the 13th and 14th of May, them games take place. Not sure what the TV games are yet, but I imagine Salford and the Hull KR could be in the running.
Well, there's three or four there that you could pick, isn't there? Salford, Hull KR, like you mentioned, Cass and St Helens, Hull and Catalans, Warrington and Widnes.
Oh.
If you wanted a bit of an interesting one, though, I would do Salford Hull Kingston Rovers, I think.
Yeah, why not?
That's the one I would do.
Not Swinton and Wigan, though.
Maybe not, because there's only one place where you can stick your cameras at Swinton. I'm speaking from experience
okay.
here.
Adrian. Oh, yes, don't I forgot you're in the TV game, aren't
don't
you?
Look at me like that.
Okay, then if we're going to pick our upsets, who's going to produce it?
Hull Kingston Rovers.
I think Hull Kingston Rovers myself.
Yeah, they seem a bit of a favourite at the moment, and they've already got that Super League scalp under the hat, haven't they?
Without a doubt. Who's your name on for the cup? Two areas to call.
Leeds.
You're going for Leeds,
I'm
really?
I'm going straight in for Leeds Rhinos. Yeah, I think that they upset everybody that much last year that they need to win something, don't they, this year just to get some of it back.
I think Castleford.
Got to be honest, though. I mean, I saw Wigan at the weekend and they were extremely good against Catalans. They've got a real swift, strong back line there. You know, lots of points, lots of tries that are on offer there. It's very potent and I don't know. But I'll still stick with Leeds.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Hi, Neil Kelly. Welcome to the Final Hooter and welcome back to the World of Rugby League.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a whirlwind 2 weeks, but things are starting to settle down now, and I'm getting into the week-to-week things that you need to do in a rugby club. But it's been a whirlwind sort of 2 weeks, like I said.
And for yourself personally, it's going back to where it all started as a coach.
Yeah, it's quite nice to be back, actually. In many ways, a lot of things change, but in far more ways, things have not changed at all. You know, the people at the club... they're still honest people, and it's been nice to be back.
And great to get your second career off with Dewsbury, with two wins under your belt.
Yeah, fortunately they were against our local rivals, so that's always good to beat them. They sandwiched the game against Sheffield, which wasn't so good. Highlighted some of the areas that we need to work on, and the reasons why our league position at the moment is not as healthy as we'd like it to be.
And Are you finding the adaptation back to Rugby League okay?
I'd like to think I've managed it okay. Everything seems to be working in order. There's obviously some changes I need to make at the club to put my stamp on it. But overall, it's gone smoothly so far, touch wood.
Obviously, one or two people now will be thinking, where's Neil Kelly been since the last time he's been in Rugby League? So where have you been?
Well, I've been all over the shop, really. I've ranging from Namibia in Africa to Romania in Eastern Europe. I've been working in rugby union. Did a little bit of been to university in Huddersfield, less exotic. I've had a good few years.
And then, how did you enjoy your time in rugby union?
It's okay. It's brilliant. You know, the lads are just the same as you get in rugby league. The friendly bunch, they're keen to learn. So not much difference there. And it's been nice to see some of the people that run the club. You know, I got to meet Eddie Jones two or three times when Romania played Japan over the last few years when he's still the Japanese coach. And he's got a real affection for rugby league and Australian rugby league. So, and I've got some good connections in Australia. So we got to talk at length about people that we knew and things that we were doing.
Now, in your early days as a coach, you were at Dewsbury, and you had a successful spell with them, and then you took on the Widnes job. And even now, people in Widnes still talk about those glory days under Neil Kelly.
Well, it was a fantastic time for me. But, you know, it's one of my career highlights. Hopefully, it's a highlight for Widnes as well. But certainly, I look back on that period with some great fondness, and I met some good friends there as well.
Jason Dimitri used to play under you. It's interesting that now he's the assistant coach over in Australia. Have you been on the phone to him recently?
No, I've not spoke to him. It's quite funny, obviously. If I had the decision again, probably I wouldn't have made it to let Jason go, but he did really well, having said that, to go to Wakefield and have the career he did. You know, he's done well. He was always an intelligent rugby player, and it's been nice to see that his rise to a good level in the coaching ranks as well.
How are you finding settling back into rugby league? How's it changed since your last involvement?
Do you know, Dave, it's more the vocabulary. I don't think it's necessarily the things that have changed. Obviously, some tactics have changed, some trends have changed, even one or two rules have changed. But I think the biggest thing for me is when it's the vocabulary of the different players. Quite often the players are the same, but they've got a different name for them. And and I'm still calling things like "you got to support in," and the players are waiting for me to say "push" or whatever. So it's just the vocabulary really.
What made you decide to want to return back to rugby league, Neil?
Well, I've been looking for the opportunity somewhere along the line. It's just a coincidence that the Dewsbury position came available. But like I said, I've been looking a little while. I went to university to do a degree with a view to going into teaching. I'm working in teaching at the moment. And Dewsbury is obviously a part-time role. So it just fitted in with my lifestyle at the moment.
I believe you're teaching in Castleford. How's that going down with your students?
I don't think they're really fully aware that their teachers now they've been aware that I've been a coach,
yes.
But I don't think they're actually aware that I've got into coaching again. But I've only been back from the Easter break, just sort of two or three days, and one or two are starting to realise. but what you find in the school, once one or two know, then it's not long before everybody else knows.
I suppose in a way, Neil, you going back to Dewsbury is a bit like Back to the Future, isn't it? Because they're probably in a very similar position to when you first had that job, are they?
Yeah. Well, the similarities between that time and now are really stark. You know, the in many ways, the club's in not a great situation, obviously, else they probably won't want to coach. But, and like 20-odd years ago, they were in a similar situation where they were in danger of being relegated. It was the first summer season, actually. And, you know, we had a fairy tale time. We recovered and went on, got stronger and stronger. So I'm looking to repeat it if possible, but that's easier said than done.
I was just about to say, because I suppose nowadays you've got more of a salary cap, have you? You're a bit more bound by finances and what have you.
Yeah, well, we didn't, money wasn't thick on the ground even back then, so, and there's always pressure financially at clubs like Dewsbury and other similar clubs. But what we achieved as we became more successful, that created more money, and you know that made us then that enabled us to become stronger. So it's very much a spiral. You can either go down a spiral, obviously, or you can go up it. And fortunately, we went up it, and I'm looking to go up it again.
You made it to the next stage of the Challenge Cup, Neil. I know you said your focus is on the league, but you must be excited to be taking on Wakefield again.
Yeah, it's obviously a big game. I think the supporters are more excited about it than probably I am. You know, like you said, my focus is on the league. When I came back into Dewsbury, the focus was all on the league. But I'm not ruling out the positive effect that a decent cup run or a decent game against a Super League side has a good knock-on effect to the attitude of the players. And then, yeah, obviously, to the way they're playing in the games as well, a confidence boost for how they're playing.
Just for our thoughts on the league, I know it's early days since you've been back within the world of rugby league. Have you found the standards of the championship?
It's good. It's very similar. You know, it's like I said, not much has changed on the playing side. Different names, obviously, but. It's a good standard. In my three games, I've only played two sides. We played Batley twice and Sheffield, but other teams I've seen, and they look very efficient when they play. And I've seen Oldham a couple of times now, and they look no different. You know, they do think get around the park quite well as well.
I suppose Swinton beating Huddersfield at the weekend just raises the profile of the league.
Yeah. It obviously, it's a great win for Swinton. A historic win for Swinton, and given that they're not just above us in the table at the bottom of the Kingston Press Championship, it sort of looks good on the rest of the division.
Good luck with the rest of the season.
No worries.
And hopefully your stress levels will stay nice and calm. Neil, welcome back to World of Rugby League, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Great to have him back, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah.
Coach of the Year in 2002, back in the big game.
One of the big characters, wasn't he? You know, sort of at the turn of the century, and, you know, his teams that he put together for Dewsbury were phenomenal at that time.
Or was it 2003 was the Coach of the Year? Is it 2002 or 2003? It was around that era, wasn't it?
He got promoted from the Championship 2001.
Yeah, so it would have been 2002, and unfortunately, in them days, if he got named Coach of the Year, you basically got the sack the year after.
That was it. Your coaching career was done.
Cursed.
You were cursed. I mean, didn't Graham Stepman get a Coach of the Year award at one point?
Yeah.
And then where's he now? Nowhere. But so this is why it's really
nice.
Could
be anywhere, couldn't he?
This is why it's really nice to see people like Neil Kelly coming back to the sport. And interesting what he was saying there, actually, about terminology, because terminology does change, doesn't it?
It does. It's
all about pushing now, not support play. It's all pushes. It's all about coming out of yardage if you're in your own half, or attacking in the red zone, you know.
Do you think he can get Dewsbury out the mess today?
It's a big ask. It's a massive ask. He's took on a great job there, to be honest. But, I mean, they're in a very, very similar position to when he first took over back in 1996. Obviously, the world of rugby league has changed somewhat in that time.
It has.
We've got far more stringent salary cap that teams have to, adhere to. But, hey, why not? We're on for a good rugby league story. Maybe Dewsbury is the good rugby league story of this year.
Let's talk about some fixtures and results, shall we? It's that period of the season where players are playing on Good Friday, Easter Monday, and then the following week. Let's stick with the Championship, shall we?
Yep.
Good Friday. Who won what?
The Good Friday results saw home wins for London, Dewsbury, Hull Kingston Rovers and Oldham, and away wins for Sheffield and Halifax. So what you tend to find in the Championship is a lot more teams tend to win the home matches.
Yeah, okay.
For the Easter Monday games.
You're joking.
Only London. Where did that come from?
No idea.
Only London were able to buck the trend and win away from home. So you got Featherstone winning at home, Swinton winning at home, Toulouse over Hull Kingston Rovers, Halifax won against Oldham, and Sheffield against Dewsbury. You know, so again, it's that home form, isn't it? But all these matches and more to come.
Exactly. Good to see League One, though, had the sense to just play on Good Friday.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, League One and the Championship have kind of done a bit of a variation on over the Easter period, over the last couple of years. Sometimes,
you're joking.
They have. Honest, they have. They've done variations. Sometimes they've only played one game. Sometimes they've played two games. But yes, it was just one game for the League One sides on Good Friday, and wins for Toronto away at North Wales, for Keighley at home over Hunslet, for London Scholars at home against Hemel, Barrow won on the road at Newcastle, Gloucestershire All Golds, they beat South Wales in the Valleys, Whitehaven overcome the local rivals Workington away from home, and York, they did a good performance to down Doncaster.
You're joking.
I'm not. Honest. They did.
Some sad news, by the way, in that game against Toronto for North Wales Crusaders, that one of their players sadly had a heart attack.
He did, yeah. Well, it actually happened after the game. He was on in the process of driving home, actually, so it could have been a whole lot serious.
Wow.
But yeah, John Cookson, once upon a time of Lee and Rochdale Hornets, where he served both clubs with distinction, was taken ill. He spent some time in hospital. But the good news, as far as we're concerned, and you know, for everybody involved with the podcast and Love Rugby League, we'd like to pass on our thoughts and best wishes. He's home now, so although he's got to take things a little bit easy, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, we wish him a speedy recovery and hope to see him in the clubs of North Wales Crusaders before the end of the season.
Most definitely, yeah. Great player as well, great guy.
Looks like Toronto are on the march to League One promotion. Looks like they could go all the way unbeaten. Before the Easter Monday game, everyone was talking about Hull KR going unbeaten, but Toulouse had overhyped it is on that one.
They did, yeah. I mean, they're a good side to lose, and especially on their own pitch as well. You know, they know how to play it. They've got a couple of good place kickers. They've also got, you know, a couple of good passers. The interesting thing about that is that they were obviously scenting a bit of blood in the Challenge Cup against Lee, because what Hull Kingston Rovers did quite smartly was they were able to rest about 8 or 9 top class players, which meant that they could chuck a few of the younger guys in, and they did a real good job, to be honest. I know they lost, and the game and that 100% record, like you said, has gone down the pan now, but overall I'm sure that Tim Sheens will be quite happy that he's been able to expand his first team squad.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, let's talk Super League on the loverugbyleague.com Final Hooter podcast. Thank you very much to our friends at Radio General for allowing us to use the fantastic equipment.
And use it badly.
But
we do what we can. We definitely do what we can.
Yeah, still to hear from Dennis Betts, John Winder, and youngster, or is it Winder? Is it Winder or Winder?
Yeah, it's Winder.
Okay.
John Winder.
And everyone keeps saying it, young Tom Gilmore.
Young Tom Gilmore, 22 years of age. He's going to be the oldest 22-year-old on earth, isn't he?
At what point do you stop using the name young before your name?
You know what? I think it depends on your position. Because I think you're still classed as a youngster, as a prop at 25.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're 25 and you're a centre, then you're in your prime, aren't you? And if you're 25 and you're an halfback, then you should be playing for Great Britain.
Yes.
Or England.
Or England, yeah. Let's just drop the Great Britain name. Before we move on about Super League, England have got a warm-up game against Samoa. I suppose the question is, do you stream or not to stream?
I've not really got any problem with them wanting to stream it, because to be honest, I think the BBC weren't too interested in it, otherwise they would have coughed up the money which was expected. So what this has allowed the Rugby League to do, they've took a lot of stick for it, is to test the water with regards to streaming. And when you're hearing that Toronto, who were allowed to stream their last game in the Challenge Cup, got 489,000
wow.
people tuning into the stream, then, you know, the boundaries of it, they're just endless, aren't they? The possibilities.
It'd be interesting to see what the TV audiences are in Canada when they do show the Toronto matches.
It will be. And we've not got long to wait now, because they'll soon be at home in a couple of weeks.
The snow's thawed out. The sun's out. And they'll be able to play at home games.
Yeah, and Fui Fui Mai Mai won't know what city if it's cold over there.
Wow. Okay, before like I said, we've just touched upon the England game against Samoa. The squad's been named. Has it?
It has been named, yeah. And, I'm looking at these two Australian names which stand out really highly from the squad. Chris Hyington, who represented England probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that name. I
think it was about, you know, 2011, 2012.
He did, yes.
Did a solid job, but he's not spectacular. He's 34 years of age now, so that's hardly going to look into the future, is it?
No.
As for the other fella that's been named in the squad, Chris McQueen, he's sort of been hanging around with the, you know, the Prime Minister's 13s, which they name in the Australian game to
take
on Papua New Guinea at the end of a season. He's been named in a couple of them. I think he's also done a little bit of State of Origin and been on the fringes there. So I find that one a bit of a strange one. And apparently he's a back row forward come centre. So I know we're missing a bit of strike in our game, but do we really have to turn to Australia to find it when we've got Joe Burgess running through trees? We've got Liam Farrell, who isn't included in this squad, who is stat for stat.
I imagine Farrell will be involved in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine so. But stat for stat, you'd want Farrell in a squad anyway, wouldn't you? Because he's the on-form forward in Super League. If you look just beneath the stats of Alex Walmsley, for example, who is just a man mounted. I'm really pleased to see him represent England, by the way. We are going to be short of Gareth Widdop. He was named in the original squad and unfortunately picked up an injury earlier in the week playing for his club St George. But Stephen Ratchford has stepped in for Warrington, which is a loss for the Wolves, but I think a real boost for England.
Mention some of the names that are in the squad. Let's have the rest of them, shall we?
Okay, so we've got Sam and Tom Burgess, Luke Gayle and James Graham are going over, Ryan Hall, Zach Hardacre, Chris Hyington, like we mentioned, Chris Hill has been called into the squad from Warrington, Josh Hodgson has managed to nudge his way in from Canberra Raiders, Jermaine McGilvray, Mike McMeekin is perhaps the bullet. So you usually get one, don't you? But
yes,
he's had a great start to the season for Castleford. So he's in that squad alongside Chris McQueen. Sean O'Loughlin will skipper the team. Mark Percival travels. Scott Taylor, Alex Walmsley, Callum Watkins, Elliot Whitehead and Stephen Ratchford are making up the numbers. But I'm sure he won't when he gets on the field. George Williams, I think he's been awesome.
Be interesting to see how they go against Samoa. That is allegedly a warm-up game for the World Cup. Bit surprising, bearing in mind we're playing that game in May and the World Cup starts in October.
Yeah, it's a bit early, isn't it, really? That's just what I was thinking, to be honest. It's not much of a warm-up game,
is it? It's a jolly boys. I mean, yeah, it's preparation in Australia. Okay.
It might take them a bit of time to get used to all the changes of the clocks, for example, might it?
All right, okay. Right, that's going to happen in May. Let's not worry about that one. Let's just touch base with Super League, shall we? 3 games in a week.
I know.
What's going on?
Thing is, you know, we do it every year. We do it every year.
We do.
It's not to be worried about.
Imagine when the fixtures came out, the reaction would have been this.
You're joking. Not another one?
Yeah.
How did you get that exclusive little snippet with Tony Smith?
Exactly.
He says that.
Every Australian coach has been saying exactly the same thing.
He says that every single time when you look at a fixture list and it has a bank holiday and Warrington have been forced to play on it.
Okay, Easter period kicked off on Thursday.
Well, it started on the Wednesday, actually.
Was it the Wednesday?
The win for Catalans away at Huddersfield.
Ah, yeah, the football club taking precedence, wasn't it?
Yeah, then it travelled to the Thursday when Warrington were able to beat Widnes on their own pitch. Good Friday saw wins for Wigan at home to St Helens, Castleford at home to Wakefield, Leeds away at Hull, and Salford managed to trump Lee. That was a really low-scoring game. Very, very low on quality, that one.
And after the end of that round of Super League, and the guys were told, you're not having Easter off because you've got a game on Easter Monday, and this would have been the reaction.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't, honestly, I can't stand this.
You got a bit more out of Tony Smith then. What's going on? Did you put the same question to him?
Exactly, yeah. So on Monday, who won what?
Easter Monday saw Wigan beat Wakefield away, Leeds beat Widnes at home, Hull travelled over to Lee and came away with the points. The shock result of the round was St Helens beating Castleford.
Without a doubt.
Warrington trumped Huddersfield. That could have been a draw, that one, couldn't it? And Catalans, well, they battered Salford, which again is probably a bit surprising when you consider how well Salford have played in the previous 3 weeks.
And then again, just when the guys thought they were going to have a rest, we're told you've got to back it up on either Thursday, Friday or Sunday, and this would have been the reaction.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't, honestly, I can't stand this.
So when they got over the shock, who won what?
Well, this was a split round, of course, because of the sides which we've earlier talked about being in the Challenge Cup. Hull beat Castleford. They seem to be dropping points at the moment, don't they?
Yeah.
Wigan accounted for Catalans, played really well in spells though, Wigan. Warrington accounted for Wakefield, and Widnes got off the mark against St Helens.
Yeah, not a good game for St Helens, was it?
It wasn't, no. They had enough chances, didn't they? And I know that a lot of people will probably look towards their fullback, Ricky Bailey. They'll look at his handling errors and think, well, he made five mistakes in there, and possibly one of them cost a try eventually. But I thought he was one of the pick of the players, in fairness. I just think that they weren't really smart enough. They had enough ball to win the game, but they just didn't win it. And Widnes deserve a lot of credit for the way that they defended.
Tom Gilmore said to me it was a win that they needed.
Yeah, it was a much needed win. But the boys were low on confidence, and we've been missing a few troops at the moment, so hopefully we grinded a win out tonight and get some confidence in the team and kick on now.
That's been mentioned about the injuries, but the effort and the character out there was out there in abundance, wasn't it?
Yeah, as you've seen, it was an ugly game and we grinded it out, so all the lads dig in for each other, and we've shown tonight that we're a solid group. Whatever anyone else is saying, we're a solid group, and we'll stick up for each other till the end of the season. So hopefully we can kick on now and show what we can do.
Real stern test in defence as well, and you stood up to what Saints threw at you.
Yeah, Saints had a big pack, and I think our young nines stood up well, especially in that middle. JJ played big minutes, and Danny Walker at such a young age didn't look like a first team player from the word go. So yeah, credit to them too.
Obviously gives the guys a big boost now and confidence to kick on.
Yeah, that's it. Hopefully this win will kickstart our season now, and we can back it up next week against Salford.
What do you think the key to success was tonight?
We just needed a bit of luck, do you know what I mean? We dropped a couple of balls and we was ugly at times, but right at the end it's just the play worked out well with Pat, so we just needed a bit of luck.
Some well taken tries as well.
Yeah, we've been working on a few moves, so like you said, sometimes the luck hasn't been going our way, so hopefully it has now, and hopefully we can kick on now and work on some more players.
Some youngsters out there really stood up to the test.
If there's one positive to the start of the season, it's that we've bled in a lot of young kids, so we're in the first team now. The Chapel, our brothers, Whitleys, do you know what I mean? We've got a lot of lads who've come through the youth system, so hopefully that'll keep coming for the next few years.
Next challenge is going to be Salford Red Devils. That's another challenge in itself.
Yeah, Salford are going really well at the moment, and we own one from our home performance against them, so hopefully we can back up next week.
Yeah, Salford next week for the Vikings. They'll be hoping to continue that winning run. He mentioned some of the youngsters. He missed out the one that really impressed me, and that was the youngster, Adam Walker.
Brad Walker, yeah.
Is Adam Walker then?
You keep saying this. Adam Walker plays for St Helens.
He does,
he's the prop forward that
isn't
getting picked at the moment,
okay,
isn't he?
Yes.
He's always on the fringes of the 19 and doesn't seem to get picked. Ex-Hull Kingston Rovers, man.
That's right.
Yeah, Brad Walker's been really good, I think, for Widnes when he's got in the first team this season. I think he's a real workaholic. There was one particular tackle that I can remember where I think he ended up dragging one of the St Helens players behind his own line. There was only him that was leading the chase. And obviously he's only like 5 foot nothing, isn't he? He's a real small squat type of player, he's Walker. So like anybody would do, you'd target him and run at him, wouldn't you? But it wasn't recommended. He got dragged back into his own goal area, drop out, and I'm sure that Widnes scored from the possession.
He wasn't scared, was he? I think it was Worms or Amor just run directly at him and thought, I'm going right over the top of you.
Oh, there was a couple of them, weren't there? Yeah,
he just literally wrapped them up and made the tackle.
He was targeted by the couple of the big forwards.
Tough player.
You know, huffed and puffed his way through. And I think that there is some real, real steel about that kid. I'm looking forward to seeing how he develops.
Wigan huffed and puffed against Catalans, but they finally got the job done.
They did. Shall we hear from John Winder?
We shall. Or is it Winder?
Winder.
I just thought first half we were just a little bit slack with the ball. I think our completion rate was around about 50% at half time, so just turned over too much cheap ball, and they're too good a side to do that too, and they took some chances on last play and came up with some points, and at half time obviously going at 16-16 we were really disappointed. But second half we controlled the ball a lot better, probably simplified it a little bit and, you know, played a little bit more direct, and in the end we managed to get the result. Them type of games, you know, on the back of Easter, you tend to get that, don't you? The last 15 minutes of the game, it opens up, and we talked about that during the week, but we just probably didn't give ourselves a chance in that sort of second 20 of the first half, really. That was the period that really killed us, took a lot of energy out of us. We defended on our own line quite a bit, But yeah, it was pleasing to see that we had that energy and endeavour come in the last 20 minutes and we managed to get over the line. We pride ourselves on that, you know, the kids coming through the system, and, you know, it's great to see them take the chances, and, you know, it's expected of them, I think, now. The lads that come in, we know the quality that we've got. Matty Pete and his team do a fantastic job at junior level, and, you know, they had a great win as well today before the game over at Robin Park. So, yeah, it was really pleasing to see.
Wigan getting the win. And that just keeps momentum rolling forward for them, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. They're on the coattails, really, of the top two, aren't they? In fact, well, they're in the top two at this moment in time. The youngsters he was referring to there, Tom Davis and Liam Forsyth, both of them have stepped in during injury problems that the Warriors have had, and that they're really doing well. I mean, Tom Davis runs for over 300 metres in one game. Wow.
Every club seems to be doing it tough in terms of injuries this season.
They've just not signed enough players, have they?
Right, get the search party out and get some players.
Get some players,
try
exactly.
And find them.
Exactly, get them found. Get them found. They're out there. They're playing amateur rugby league. They're just not getting picked up by the pros.
And why is that then?
Probably because of the lack of reserve competition. Don't get me started. I feel a soapbox moment coming on, but we've not got time.
Not at all. So anyway, we've been able to take our breath, get our breath back and relax after the Easter period, but we go again. And there's some big games coming up, isn't there?
There is some massive games. You've got the fixtures, though.
I have got the fixtures. How did you know that?
Because I know I've not got the fixtures.
Next round of Super League, what round are we up to? Round 12, Leeds versus Huddersfield, Hull FC versus Warrington, St. Helens versus Leigh, Castleford take on Wigan, and then finally Wakefield versus Catalans, and Salford Red Devils versus Widnes Vikings.
You can't look any further than Cass against Wigan, can you? I mean, both of those sides up until recently have been the form sides within the competition. Okay, Wigan had the wobbles just before Easter. Castleford are now having their wobbles now, but they still remain top of the division.
Yeah, top 8 at around 11. Castleford at the top alongside Leeds Rhinos. Wigan are 3rd, Hull FC 4th, Salford Red Devils are in 5th, Catalans are 6th, Wakefield 7th, St. Helens are in 8th, a fastly improving Warrington are now in 9th position, level with St. Helens, and the bottom three is Leigh, Huddersfield and Widnes. I can't see, can you see Leigh, Huddersfield or Widnes getting out of the position where they are? Are they disdain for the qualifying 8?
Honestly not, they'll probably jostle amongst themselves, but I can't see them escaping that bottom 4, if I'm being honest, unless they can come up with a run of results. I mean, Widnes, they needed that victory against St. Helens. They showed a lot of determination, a lot of true grit there, really. So, you know, if they can get another couple of wins, that'll put pressure on your likes of your Warrington, but they're picking up wins at the moment. Leigh have gone 6 losses on the straight at the moment, right. So they seem to have fallen off the wagon a little bit. Huddersfield Giants, well, I don't think Mr. Stone's got that long left, to be fair.
Who do you think is going to be there then? Because obviously it looks like Warrington are going to get out of the position where they are. St. Helens looked a bit suspect, don't you think?
I mean, they're not playing particularly well at all, but yet they were able to win against Castleford, you know, over the Easter period.
Right.
So that maybe shows you just what potential their squad has if Sean Long and Derek Traynor and company can get them playing as a team. And like, I'm sure those St. Helens fans are sure that they can play.
It's going to be a rollercoaster of a ride between now and then before we hit the 8. Thank you very much for Neil Kelly. Thank you for all the interviews, but we're out of here.